family, and this is probably the first Wednesday I've literally been to, I don't know, probably in 6-7 months, I would say, maybe even longer, probably 8 months since we started the prison campus. And I don't even know what a Wednesday looks like here anymore, but my counterpart out there, man, they are doing an awesome job. Other Timber Creekers are out there serving, and they're involved. And I'm going to tell you, if you ever go through a dry time, you know, like in your walk with the Lord, one of the best things to do is to serve. And I have people that go out there, and it's like they're hooked. They let go one time, and it's like they tell me, how can I be a part of this? I just want to come and serve. And really what we do out there is support. It's actually more support than anything, because we are out there probably about 2 hours, get there about 6:30, we leave about 8:30, and we see them from week to week. We are actually literally in the process of starting a grow track out there in 2019. It'll be a hybrid of SP, starting point on Sunday morning, and a grow track one, and it won't be at night, it'll be during the day, like on a Tuesday at 10 o'clock in the morning, and it is taking root out there. A lot of the guys are hungry. Our largest service we ever had was 215 guys. We baptized 41 the last time we were out there. And I mean, I'm telling you, sky is the limit. There's 518 actual inmates, and we have probably left a dent in that place. We have probably reached nearly, I would say, about 80% of the men. You know, there's some that just don't come, but I mean, we are doing our best to reach people. Got word from the prison next door at the Duncan unit that we will probably be able to get signed off in December. And so that's looking very good to start. That's another 518 men, and that's a little bit more of a somber place because that's the geriatrics unit. Most of the men there are lifers. Most of the men at the place we're currently at, there are people that come up to me, they say, as soon as I get out, I'm going to come and say hello to you guys at Timber Creek Church. I mean, there's been numerous men that we've led to the Lord that have already timed out and left the Dieball Correctional Center. So that's a little different than the geriatrics. That place there, a lot of the men there will leave feet up. They will never get out. They'll never see the light of day. So it's a little bit of a different location. But that's just to give you a snapshot, because I know a lot of you guys probably wonder, you know, like, probably see the baptism pictures being shown on the big screen, and you're like, man, what's going on out there? Here's what we do. Sunday morning, we get an SSD drive, we get worship guides, and we show our Sunday morning service on Wednesday night. And so then they get to go along with what we're doing, and that's why you hear Pastor Jeremy give a shout out to him and say, hey, wanted to let you guys know, and also welcoming in the Dieball Correctional Campus, and you hear them say that, and that, I mean, they explode when they hear that, because they really do feel a part of our church. So that's just a little snapshot. We actually show the SSD drive. It's basically a video of our Sunday morning experience, and there's nobody else that does that out there. Actually showing a Sunday morning. Like, it just gives them a glance of what it would look like if they were here with us on Sunday morning. Sometimes we'll do a live teaching. I preach a couple times. Pastor Jeremy comes out. You know, we try to mix it up. But if you ever want to come, email me, alvin@lufkin.org. I can let you come if you give me advance warning. I can get you in as a special guest, and we do what's called a look-see. Kind of a look and a see, like, is this for me? And for some people, it's like, that's not really my cup of tea. But for some people, they go, I want to come back. I want to be a part. And so if you've already gone through SP, you are signed off to come. And so anytime you want to come, man, you just look me up, all right? Love you guys on that part of it. And trust me, we will always need faces. We will always need more people, because there's some hoops you have to actually jump through. It's a little bit different than just showing up on a Sunday morning and opening doors and greeting, although that's very much needed here too. But out there, you've got to go through a four-hour training, and then, you know, you've got to give your time on the Wednesday nights. And so I have people that come. I have some people that come. They say, don't ever take me off the list. I'll let you know when I can't come. I mean, that's how dedicated they are. I mean, they are dedicated. So if you guys want to come, just look me up. One other thing. What is, I'm going to get three people. What is something that you learned in this grow track that you didn't know when you walked in here? If anybody's got something, just shoot your hand up. I'm only going to choose three. What is something that you learned in this grow track that you didn't already know? Go ahead. Just make it short and sweet.
I just learned how to read the Bible, like how some books are meant for poetry. I learned a lot about Ecclesiastes. It was very helpful. So I think that was the biggest thing, was understanding how to read the Bible, depending on like history and poetry and that sort of thing.
So just a different way how to read the Bible. Very, very insightful. Anybody else here? We got one back here. We got people throwing their hands up all over the place. All right, go ahead.
I just learned how to trust in that intuition and gut feeling. Like, I'd never realized before that that was the Holy Spirit talking to me. And it's really changed a lot about how I act on that gut feeling now that I know that it's communication.
So in other words, what you're talking about is discernment. Like when the Lord is discerning, you just kind of feel something. It's more discernment. It's like the Lord is trying to speak to you. So that's good. That is something that you picked up while you're in this class. Yes.
The different versions of the Bible.
All the different versions of the Bible. So Old Testament, New Testament, NIV, King James, the Holman, all the different ones, the New Living Translation. Is there anybody else? Anybody else? Yes, ma'am.
That the Holy Spirit's from God, not the devil.
The Holy Spirit's from God, not the devil. Really? Wow. Well, sometimes that's, you know, like if you learned something in the past, or you maybe were learned something from false assumptions. Okay. Who else? Who else put their hand up? Uh-oh. This old rotten cowboy fan. I can't even get over there by him. This old rotten cowboy fan. He actually has the kidney of a woman in him.
This class taught me that each one of us are on levels, and it is always met by the word and the studying of it and the teaching of it.
Okay.
Meets all of us in our own levels.
So he actually meets you where you're at. So you might have some that have been walking with the Lord for a while, some that are brand new. Maybe some are still literally swatting off the flames of hell itself, and you're in here learning the Word of God, and so that's a big thing. So there's anybody else? This is taking a little bit less time. Because what I'm going to share with you tonight is going to be different than probably what you've ever heard before. I'm just going to tell you that flat out. Is there anybody else? Anybody else? Something that they learned that was profound? This will be the last one, and then we'll get started.
I learned that even when you've been serving the Lord for 25, 30 years, and you get to the point where you're burnt out, sometimes you just need to get back in touch with Him and refresh and start over.
That's good. Hey, that is great right there. That is a very, very good, because you know what? There's a lot of people, like he said, there's many different people at different points in their life, and God will meet you where you're at. If you're at burnout, probably most everybody at the sound of my voice will reach a place where they kind of, you know, like the stuff that was once kind of on fire, it felt good, man, serving God, you're all gung-ho for the Lord. There just comes that point in time where you kind of like plateau, almost like you flatline. You just don't feel that hunger. You don't feel like getting up and going to church. You don't feel like cracking open your Bible. You maybe not even feel about even praying to God. When those things come, it's something that you've got to resist. You've got to fight past it. Sure, you know what? You may hit those down times. You actually may hit those times where you're down. But God is faithful, and he will see you through that rough time in your Christian walk. It's just important that you keep focused on God and you keep moving in the right direction. Very, very good insights there. Well, tonight, I'm going to share something with you that's going to take you out of your comfort zone. Tonight is the last night of Grow One. And at the end of the day, this church right here, Timber Creek Church, is not going to reach everybody for Jesus. We are a small stone in a large ocean. And Pastor Jeremy, he's not going to reach everybody with the gospel. He's just not going to. And I want you to think about it like this. There's people that you can reach that I'll never reach. And there's people that I can reach that you'll never reach for Jesus. What do I mean by that? All of us, at the sound of my voice, you have the opportunity to be an influencer for the kingdom of God. You have a big opportunity. Now, whether or not you seize that opportunity, that's left in your hands. That's left in what you do with your gifts. That's left in what you do in your talents for God. But ultimately, winning people to Jesus is not done just by a preacher on a Sunday morning. Did you know that you can lead people to Jesus wherever you're at? It does not matter if you have Reverend in front of your name. You can lead people to Jesus. And maybe you don't understand that right now. Maybe this is brand new to you. That's why I kind of want to flip your mind inside out on this. I just want you to understand that you have the opportunity to change heaven if you get your focus upon how God sees people. I'm going to share a couple of things that we did. Now, there's different levels of ministry. So let's say we go out and we go to the Air Fest. Am I getting up on a stage preaching to people as they're walking by? No. What am I doing? I'm rubbing shoulders. I'm rubbing elbows with the public, inviting people to come out and connecting with them. Now, when I bring the drop-down truck to an apartment complex and we fold out the stage and we set up chairs and we feed pizza to all the families that come out from Lotus Lane Apartments, or they come out from different apartment complexes around the city, and they come and they listen, they hear the Word of God, we actually preach the Word of God, and we will give an altar call for them to come to know Jesus. So there's different levels of ministry, but then the next one I'm going to share is what I would call like deep sea fishing. You know, Jesus called us to be fishers of men, and if you would, go ahead and put that first picture up. I'm going to put this picture up. That's me right there at Mardi Gras. This is on the streets of Bourbon Street. That was in 2015. That was year, I had gone 8 years in a row. There's a couple people you may see that actually used to come to church. There's Charity. There's another friend of mine that's right next to me, behind me. There's Eric with the sign that says, "Gay, God adores you." We go down to Mardi Gras. This is a little bit different. This is what I call deep sea fishing. You know, like, I mean, it takes guts to stand out on the streets of Bourbon Street. For me, I've led probably 30 people to the Lord on Bourbon Street. How do we do it? I mean, it's tough. I mean, I've been spit at. I mean, I've had beer spit right in my face, almost went in my mouth, hit me right here, went all down my shirt. So I had to smell like beer. That happened early in the day. I saw people from Lufkin there. I go, "Hey, you're from Lufkin." You know, like that, I high five them and stuff like that. I go, I got a good memory. They go, "Oh, yeah, the church." They point that because, you know, they remember me from the church. What do we do there? Now, this is a totally different thing. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to get your mindset out of just the walls of the church. I'm trying to get your mindset that people you do business with every day, you have the ability to influence them for Jesus. You know, you have the ability to actually influence them in a negative way. You know, I had friends back in the day. You know what I would do? I would influence them. Hey, let's go out and party on Friday night. Hey, let's go out and party on Saturday night. The same exact way you got the ability to influence them. Now, here's the thing. You may not be able to lead them to Christ while you're sitting with them at church, but you know what you have the ability to do? Drag them to church on a Sunday morning with you. And, you know, that's what Matthew the tax collector did. I'm actually going to get into this. You know what he did? He had a big banquet for all of his tax collecting buddies so he could tell them about Jesus. He broke bread with them. He talked with them. Okay, next slide, please. That's another guy right there. His name was Jared. Just folks walking up and down the street. And people have stories, man. People want to talk. How do we do what we do? I mean, man, you're just standing out there randomly. I mean, we are out there fishing. We have different signs. If you would, go ahead and flash to another one. That guy there, I mean, believe it or not, he probably, at that time, he had a few to drink. And he actually told me, he said, I'm not doing good with God at all. I'm struggling. And I know what I need to do, but it's hard to do it. And my life is not going in the right direction. I had a grandmother that always prayed for me. And so I just, you know, I mean, like, was I going to beat him up? I mean, like, was I going to browbeat him? Was I going to, like, you know, like jump on him? What did I do? I just loved on him. I just showed him the love of Jesus. I said, man, I said, God's got a plan for you. He's got a purpose for your life. But just like how God does, so does Satan. Satan's got a plan, and you know what his plan is? I can already tell you what his plan is for you, to rob, steal, kill, and destroy your life, to actually snuff your life out. He cares nothing about you. But you know what? I find it kind of ironic. We're on Bourbon Street, and we're talking about Jesus while you're holding a bomb. What do they call those? It was like a bomb. He had like one of those. No, it was actually a hand grenade. He was actually holding a hand grenade drink or whatever. I said, I find it kind of ironic. We are talking about Jesus on the streets of Bourbon Street. And so he just began talking about his life, prayed with him, loved on him, even led him in the sinner's prayer. Now, ultimately, all I am is a conduit between him and God. Free will. I can't save anyone. All I can do is just point people in the right direction toward Jesus. Next slide. Okay, these are a couple other guys. So they had a really good idea. The guy in the middle is Damian Nicholas. He actually works at the, I think, one of the fitness stores here that sells proteins and all that. And then the guy in the Saints hat, why he had a Saints hat, I'll never know. That was Nathan. And so what actually they did is they said, man, it's hard to connect with people. And so you know what we used to do down there is we'd use signs. We'd have different signs like that sign, Gay God Adores You, folks. They were like, are you supporting gay marriage? Are you supporting all this stuff? All we used it for is a tool to talk to people about Jesus. And you know what? Ultimately, God does love those people. It don't matter their lifestyle. He actually still loves them. But we use it as a tool to be able to get people to come talk to us. So what they did is they had that sign. And folks, by the droves, they would fill up a sign and start another one. That's how many they have. And so while they were filling in what they thought Jesus is, They use that as a witnessing tool. This is deep sea fishing. This isn't for everyone. I've brought probably 50 people from our church there over the last 8 years that I've gone. I have not gone since 2015. But this is just little tactics and ways that we use to actually reach people. Okay, the next one. There's a guy there on the ground that passed out. Just, you know, all over the place. I mean, we actually got him up off the ground, took him and bought him some food, just talked to him. Just other people on the right there, just talking, just creating conversation. One of the best tools you have is you create conversation so people can talk about the Lord. Now, am I going to ram this down somebody's throat? When I was younger in the faith, I would probably ram it down their throat. But the older I got, I learned, I'm like, you know what? God's not telling me to talk right now. He's just telling me just to hang out. He's just telling me just to listen. God opens the door to talk, and I can tell their heart is open to it. That's that discerning spirit. You know, I can discern what's going on. Then I'll jump in, and I'll begin to tell them about different things that I feel they may be interested in. So why did I share this with you? Why did I go through this? There's another one. So there's our signs. Those were our signs we used. So there was one that said, bring your sin to the altar and drop it like it's hot. That was a song, actually, drop it like it's hot. So we used little catchy slogans. People, they would walk by, they go, man, we love that. But see, what was going on there is when we were there, the Westboro Baptist Church, you know, the ones that you've seen on the news, big signs. I mean, they were like face masks. They had like chest protectors. They had goggles. I mean, it was wild because what they would do is they would scream, you're going to hell. And you know what? Kindness leads to repentance. This is biblical right here. Trust me, you will get more with honey than you will with vinegar. You will get more with being kind to people than you will with being mean and nasty. There'd be people that would be leaving in tears. They're saying, you know, adulterous, fornicator. I mean, they had everything listed. I mean, from the top to bottom, every sin you could think of, fornicators, adulterers, everything, you know, whoremongers, you know, lying preachers' kids. And I mean, they put everything down there. Drunkards, all this stuff, and they went through that. And you know, some of that, most all the stuff they had, you know, at the end of the day, it's true, but they're not going to get anywhere with that type of a message. And so whatever message you get tonight, think about what you're going to say. Everything has to be spoken in love to people. Love is what draws people to Jesus, not hatred, not meanness, but God's love. And so these are little things that I believe God wants to do, wants to activate in your Christian walk. So let's go ahead and let's get started. A couple things I want to share before we get into the actual teaching. Jesus spoke about this himself. He spoke personally and specifically in the Bible to 28 documented people. He also preached to crowds 4 times. This is documented in the Bible. So he actually spoke to 28 people. Certainly he spoke a lot more, but these are the actual documented stuff that he did through the entire book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John of what they talked about. But if you notice between this, he spoke individually to 28 people. Crowds 4 times. This is through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Jesus was a great believer in one-on-one evangelism. He was a great believer on talking face-to-face with people. I mean, think about it. So Sunday morning, Pastor Jeremy speaks 50 minutes out of 7 days. So think about all the more face-to-face interactions that you'll have throughout the week. It's just, I mean, it's staggering. So what does that mean? That means as a believer, it should mean something to us to have face-to-face time with people about Jesus. Tonight, there is no perfect way on how you're going to share the gospel to people. Everyone in this room will have a different way to do it. Just as long as we do it, that's the key, as long as we do it. Share your story, and that's the biggest thing. The best thing that you can do is that you begin to share your story. Look, my testimony is one of the biggest things that I lean on when I go to Mardi Gras. Because nobody can refute my story. It's my own personal story about what God did in my life. And Larry, the same with you. Your story is your story. And that's how you utilize your relationship with God. And that's how you draw people in. So whatever you've gone through, whatever trials or tribulations you've gone through, whatever God has done for you in your life, that is one of the best tools in your tool pouch, and reaching people for Jesus. So what have I done? How have I done it? I've befriended people. I've talked to my childhood friends. I've talked to my cousin at a crossroad in his life. I've talked to total strangers on the streets of New Orleans during Mardi Gras, or even my grandmother. But I have brought up the questions about their life with God. You know, there's some people, man, there's two things we don't talk about around here. We don't talk about politics, and we don't talk about religion. Well, the Bible refutes that, because if you are a believer, you have a duty. Look, I want you to understand, you are here. Get this in your mind. You are here because somebody else influenced you. Period. There is no other way. Somebody else, and you know what? I could get the microphone out to every person, and you would go through how you became a believer. And so right now, there may be somebody that you know, man, that you know what? They're shooting up right now. There's somebody you know, man, there's a man, they went home, they stopped, they got their case of beer, and they're going to finish it before the end of the night and get up and go do it again tomorrow. There are folks you know that need Jesus, and you know what? You may be the only Jesus that they'll ever see. But you're here because somebody else took the time and stood up and said, you know what? I want Trenton to know about Jesus. It could have been your mom or dad. Man, I'm telling you what, if your mom or dad taught you what was right, you better thank God. You better thank God you got a mom and a dad that cared about you. If it's a friend, man, you know what, when you leave here, you better get on the phone and thank that friend. You better tell that friend, thank you for pointing me to Jesus. I mean, your story may be profound. You could have met Jesus in the prison. I don't know. But however you met Jesus, it's because somebody else played the ultimate part in your life for you come and know Jesus. It could be your wife. You better give her a good kiss for that. It could be your husband. You better do his laundry and cook his food, you know, like even a little bit better. However, but I got no amens on that. A couple ladies, man, they just stretched their coats up and they said, yeah, I ain't cleaning no laundry. You know who I'm married to? No, I'm kidding. All of us come to this church with different giftings, but we all have one cause. We all have one cause, and that cause is that we utilize our gifts so that people come to know Jesus. Not a higher calling that. At the end of the day, you came into this world with nothing, and you leave this world with nothing. But you know the one thing you do take with you? All the people you influence for Jesus. I mean, think about that. I mean, it's hard to wrap your mind around. You come into this world with zero, buck naked, and you leave with absolutely nothing. But the one thing, that opportunity you get to put those jewels in those crowns, whenever Jesus is putting those jewels in your crown, and then you can throw that crown at the feet of Jesus. All those jewels, all those people you influenced, that's your biggest encouragement that you have at the end of the day. I'm not saying that you know what, you can't have nice things in this world, but it just puts it in perspective when you think about it, that you come in with nothing and you leave with nothing. So tonight, I just want you to feel the magnitude of what you've been given. Life is temporary and very short for people at times. I mean, man, we see people 45 years old, 27 years old, and they're dead and gone already. I mean, hopefully they knew Jesus at the end of the day. In the end, all that matters is, did they know Jesus? So today, you can get your notes out, and we're going to talk about some of the things about when you're going to get an opportunity to actually lead somebody to Jesus. So here's what happens. The how-tos to effective evangelism. Now, these are basics. I've actually taught this same one before. I have some deeper things that we can go to, but since we're in Grow 1, all we're going to do tonight is scratch the surface. But the biggest thing I want you to know is that you got a duty to reach people. So number one is the approach. How many people have actually led somebody to Jesus in this room? A decent amount. Actually led them in the sinner's prayer. Okay. That's a big deal right there. That's a lot of people. That's good. Did you know this, that 97% of evangelical Christians never lead anybody to Jesus? 97%. That means that 3% in the world do all the lifting for people to know God. That number's got to change. We got to get that number down like 50-50 or 100% participation. I mean, you know, you got some people that, man, that's just not me. I just don't want to do that. I don't want to talk about that. Hey, talk to God first before you say that. Talk to God first, because you know what? Maybe you got a gifting inside of you that's dormant that you don't know exists, and God wants to wake that up in your life. So the first one is this, is the approach. No condemnation. We're not looking down our nose at anyone when we're going to approach them about Jesus. We're going to come to them with open arms. The second thing is this, is the conversation. Just remember this, it's not you against them. One of the biggest things when we're down there at Mardi Gras, folks try to put you up against one another. You know, they want to contradict. And I tell them this. I said, I'm not here to argue scripture. All I'm here to do is I'm just here to be a conduit for people to know Jesus. If you want to talk about Jesus, I said, I'm not here to banter back and forth or to get into silly debates about the scripture. I'm just here for Jesus and for people that may need prayer. And they may need an opportunity to actually get some stuff off their chest. You'd be surprised the amount of people that would come up and want prayer for something. The third thing is this, is the invitation. Would you like to receive Christ? That's where you actually close the deal. You actually ask them if they'd like to accept Jesus. This is what you would call marketplace evangelism. So the first step in witnessing is the approach. There are a number of different approaches used by a variety of men and women in the Bible that we can learn from. So the first one is this, is Peter's confrontational approach. Wow. Now, this would be for the people that I would say they basically don't meet a stranger. They can be, basically, if you were a loudmouth in the world, Shelly, I'm sorry. If you were a loudmouth, I'm just talking on Shelly right here. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that. Yeah, I was just really playing though. If you were a loudmouth in the world, there's no need now to be quiet as a Christian. I mean, you should learn to. If you were gung-ho, look, I was gung-ho. I was on fire when it come to, you know. Folks, you know, we're all heading to the bar. I was 18 years old, and I was getting all the beer for all the kids. That was me when I was younger. And at the end of the day, you know, when God gets things right in here with me, why am I going to be quiet? Why should I be quiet? I mean, shoot, if I was a loudmouth for the devil's ways, I should be a loudmouth for the ways of God, too. And so Peter, he was kind of like that. I mean, he didn't give a darn if some Roman soldier was going to come up and try to snatch Jesus. He going to teach somebody a lesson. And if it means, you know, punching somebody in the face, he was going to do it. He was probably going to take a sword and slip somebody's ear off on top of that. I mean, that's how Peter operated. And there's a lot of people. Look, that is a very, very good way to actually reach people for Jesus, too. It may sound crazy, but that's how my mom was. My mother, and she'll be here in probably an hour. They actually drove down from Wisconsin. They're coming to visit. Literally, my mother, when I was bouncing at a bar, she would go in the back and sit and just watch everything. And she'd pray. And she would say, "Devil ain't going to get my boy. I'm going to fight. And when the opportunity was right, She would slip in little CDs that I could listen to. She would listen to, she actually gave me this guy that was a mob boss. His name was Tom Papania, and he had a story, a phenomenal story, and I actually listened to his testimony, and that helped me kind of get kind of going in the right direction with some of the things. But my mother was a Peter. She wasn't going to lay down and just let the devil just snatch her boy from her. And so, Peter, if that is you, this if you're a Peter, you kind of know you are. I don't even have to even really tell you. I mean, you just kind of, like you wear your emotions on your sleeve. I mean, folks know what you're thinking right away. You might be in a bad mood some days. I mean, Peter was in a bad mood some days. I mean, I'm just being honest with you. Peter was a man who was fearless for God. He did everything with full force. Peter's name stands for rock. Jesus said that he would build his church on this rock, and the gates of hell would not prevail against it. Peter was very direct and always got straight to the point. God needs people to be bold and to take a stand for him. It's easy to talk to people about Jesus in the church, but it is another story once you get outside of the church walls and try to talk to the unchurched about the love and mercy of Jesus. If you were a loudmouth in the world, there's no need now to get quiet as a Christian. So the first one is Peter's confrontational approach. Maybe you need to do some confrontation. I'm not saying you're screaming at people. I'm just saying maybe you just need to kind of take a stronger stand. Maybe you need to kind of like interject a little bit more. Maybe you just need to kind of like pipe up and say something when something's not going right with a friend. Maybe you just need to interject your testimony to somebody. Only you can activate that. I can put it in your mind, but you got to want to take that wherever you go. That's if you're a Peter. If you're not a Peter, don't try to emulate Peter. I mean, Peter was Peter. But if you know you're a Peter, walk in your Peter. Number two, Paul's intellectual approach. The hallmark of his approach was his logical and reasoned presentation of the gospel. Message. Read any of the letters he wrote in Romans. It is the best example of this type of approach. You will see that he was a master at laying out sound explanation of the central truths about God's nature, our sin, and Christ's solution for our forgiveness and salvation. Are you the inquisitive type who enjoys working with the ideas and evidence? This style has become more and more important as our society has become more increasingly secular and knowledgeable. Paul, Romans Road. If you look in the far back in one of the appendices, there is a Romans Road. You know, omit, believe, and confess. These are all different things somewhere in the back. I don't know where it is, but it's actually back there. This is 60. Page 60. That's Paul. He's the master at laying out stuff. Read through that, and that's kind of a roadmap. When you get into a conversation with somebody about Jesus, that can be your way of helping them to know Jesus. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All those different little Romans that you can use, that can help you. That's a tool to lead somebody to Jesus. Number three, I need to move on, otherwise Taylor's going to get upset with me. See that? She's already standing. I know. Look, I've been around before. I know how this game works. I've been here, done this, figured it out. And man, they will start, you know, stomping their foot. They'll start twirling their hair. They'll start doing, you know, come on, get on with it. Don't be dragging this out. All right, I get it. Blind man's testimonial approach. John 9:25 says this. But one thing I do know, that where I was blind before, but now I see. The blind man had a testimony, and he used it for the sake of Christ. Revelation 12:11 says, and they conquered him by the means of the blood of the Lamb and the utterance of their testimony. For the utterance of their testimony. So you know what? Your testimony is powerful. Use it to the fullest extent, because nobody can refute your testimony. Tell them about what God has done for you, because you would be surprised at how powerful your testimony can be to somebody that may identify with you. Because they say, man, that guy's been through a lot. He's kind of been through what I've been through. I want to kind of get to where he's getting. He seemed like he's got his life on the right path. He seems like he's doing good. I want that life. I don't want the life that I got. And so that's how God can speak to people. Number four, Matthew's interpersonal approach. This is where I shared before that he had a big, big old party. After accepting the call to follow Jesus, Matthew, the tax collector, did whatever he could to show them the way to Jesus. Luke 5:29 says, Matthew had a big banquet for all of his tax collecting buddies to expose them to Jesus. Matthew relied on relationship that he had built with these men over the years, and he sought further development on their friendship because he cared about their eternal destination. He cared about people through relationships. Therefore, he used relationships to preach or share the gospel. So what does that mean? Some of you may be just, you know what, I can't walk up to a stranger. There may be some people, I can't walk up to a stranger. That's just not me. That would probably be most people. They would probably feel a little awkward. They feel a little bit, ugh. But you know what? Some of you, man, I mean, you're great at relationships. You'll talk. Use your relationships to point people to Jesus. I bet you everybody at the sound of my voice has at least one person, and this is an assignment for you tomorrow. Think about one person that you can go and you can tell them about your relationship with God through your testimony, but you have relationship with them, so they'll probably listen, right? I mean, they're actually going to listen if you got relationship. So think about that one person that maybe you've never told anything to them about Jesus. Maybe you have. Maybe it's just all come alive to you and you're just telling everybody about God. Hey, that's awesome. Go for it. But maybe there's that one person that you work with them, that you bump shoulders with them, and you've just never shared about what God's done for your life. I'm going to tell you, if you start walking in that, ask God first. Say, God, is this person ready? Is his heart open? And you know what? Best tool you got is what God's done for you. And share like how Matthew shared about what's going on in your life and point them back to Jesus. Here's the thing. If you don't lead them to Jesus, it's not defeat. It's not defeat. If they don't come to Jesus, it's not defeat. Maybe, you know what? You planted a seed. Some people sow, some people reap. But the key is that you continue to be a sower continuously. You let the sowing that you need to do for God continue to come out of you. It's important that you grasp that. Number five, the Samaritan woman's invitational approach. Jesus introduced the Samaritan woman to the salvation at the well, and it changed her life forever. It touched her life so much that she went back to the town, and she began telling people about what Jesus said to her and began taking people with her. That lady was at a crossroad in her life. You may know some people who are at a crossroad. You know they're struggling. You don't even have to even think about it. You know they're going through it. You know what? Use their crossroad. Use that crossroad they're going through to point them back to Jesus. John 4:42 says, "Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is a savior of the world." Invite the unchurched. This is where, you know what? What did the Samaritan woman do? She invited everybody in her village to actually come and see this Jesus that she talked about. If you don't have some of this other stuff down yet about how to share your faith, how to do different things, just bring them to the church because they'll have an opportunity to hear the gospel there. But bring them. Bring them along. Number six, Dorcas's. And man, have you ever heard of Dorcas in the Bible? I'd be willing to bet you there's some people, who's Dorcas? Oh, that's some chick in the Bible. That's some girl in the Bible. She had some gifts and she used them. Acts 9:36 says this, states that Dorcas went around doing good and helping the poor. This style of evangelism is serving people so that they may come to know Christ. So you serve people. This can be for those who are generally uncomfortable with direct Peter-like approaches. So you know what that means? Maybe instead your approach is you like, you know what, I'm not going to be the speaker. I'm not going to jump up and speak. I'm not going to do all that. But I'll set up a chair. I'll open a door. I'll smile and shake someone's hand. I mean, trust me, God needs those people too. Because you know what, sometimes people aren't always watching what a person is saying. they're watching the person's body language, or if they show the love of Jesus. Sometimes people learn more about what they see than what they hear. So this is an area that you can use too. All right, we are going to take a pause, a moment. And what I would like everyone to do is turn to the identifying your evangelism style. This is going to take about 10 minutes. Page 70. So what I want you to do is go through the 36 questions that are on there and record your responses to each of the 36 statements according to whether you think the statement applies to you. And then at the end, do the confrontational, intellectual, testimonial, interpersonal, invitational, and serving, and see which one you're the strongest at. That way we will know where you're most gifted at. Guys, go ahead and play some music, and you guys can go ahead and finish up the quiz. So I guess wherever you've gotten to, man, I wish we could do something more with that, though, like to see where you guys really are. Maybe you can stay over a little bit later after I finish up, and you know what, you can kind of figure it out. Does that sound okay? You can go back to what you're doing and fill in your blanks, and you can figure out where you're strongest at in sharing your faith. Well, we have some actual people in this room that were influenced, not with preaching of the word, but with a little bit of the Peter, a little bit of the Matthew interpersonal approach, and a whole lot of the Samaritan woman's invitational approach. And the two that were influenced by this happened at the AirFest. They are sitting back there. One, you can wave your hand, that's Chris and that's Liz. Everybody knows them. We were out at the AirFest 2 years ago, 3 years ago. And they were walking by, and I saw them. It was kind of towards the end. The AirFest was going to get ready to kick off. And I didn't preach. I mean, I wasn't up there preaching the word, getting all fiery and telling people about Jesus. All I did was I said, hey, why don't you come check us out sometime at Timber Creek Church? We'd love to have you guys. Come as you are. And they kind of asked some questions about, you know, is it okay if we dress like this? I said, heck, you can come like that, no problem. And they showed up. God began to work in their life, and the next thing you know, they're here running sound, running the slides, sitting at the front desk, writing in people, and being a part of the church. And they got touched by God, and that's how God works, is something as subtle as that. That's why the Bible says the church will be added to daily. And so that's our biggest thing, is we begin to figure out ways, clever ways, to reach people for Jesus. And so that's just a little bit of the three things. So I'm going to go ahead and finish, because I know sometimes people like to get their blanks done, right? I mean, are you the type of people that, man, they don't want to have something? I mean, man, there was this one lady one time when I was preaching. She waited. She had like three blanks, and she was upset that those blanks weren't in there, because, I mean, she's going to go back and have that. I mean, she wanted, I mean, you could tell she was a perfectionist, and she was going to have it right. So I said, ma'am, I said, you can take my notes, you can have them. Then you can write down everything perfect. Even my stuff I wrote on the side, she took it all. I said, bless you, take it all. I'm completely fine with that. And so sometimes we got a lot of blanks because we're the blankety blank church. I'm just kidding, no. I'm certain you've heard that before, but all right. So the conversation, sometimes this can be kind of the harder part. You know, we can talk about our stuff, we can talk about our testimony, but the actual conversation, be yourself, be real, but best of all, be a good listener. Listen to where they're at. Listen to them talk. Be like a doctor and ask them questions when the time is right. After you've shared, you could say, well, I mean, what's going on with your life? And just listen. Don't pretend to have all the answers. Man, there'd be people on the streets of Mardi Gras, they'd be asking these wild, who is Enoch's brother? Who is this person? I mean, they were just, you know, just like trying to stump you. And I said, ma'am or sir, I don't know everything about the Bible, but I do know what God's done for me. And I know certain things about the Bible, but I don't know anybody that's got the Bible memorized front and backwards. I mean, I don't know anybody here, do you? And so I'd say, do you have it all covered? I said, I'll be the first one to tell you. I don't know every intimate detail about every little thing of the Bible, but I can get back with you. I mean, if you give me a question, I'll figure it out, and I'll get back with you. And you know what? They'd respect that. Don't want to be the type of person that's a know-it-all. Number three, lift up the name of Jesus. John 12:32 says, this is the most important part of witnessing. But when we lift up Jesus' name, he'll draw all men to his name. That's what Scripture says. That's a conversation. The invitation. This is the part where you invite them to know Jesus. Maybe you've talked for 10 minutes. You can tell they're thinking. They got stuff going on upstairs. They may have known God once, but they walked away from God. You can tell they're thinking. Right then and there, you say, hey, just be as cool as a cucumber. Walk right in. You just say, hey, you want to get it right now? We don't got to wait for Sunday morning at the church. Man, if you're going through something right now, let's get it right now. Let's not wait. Let's get our stuff right. And that's where you be bold and you talk to them. And you give them the opportunity to confess and repent of their sins. The invitation will be sometimes the most awkward moment. This can be sometimes even more awkward than even witnessing itself, because you're like, okay, I'm going to actually lead somebody in the sinner's prayer. It'd be like, oh my gosh, I mean, I'm not just talking about Jesus, but I'm, you know, as they say in East Texas, actually, I'm fixing to lead somebody to Jesus. And so it's kind of like, you know, it can be a little bit, maybe it's your first time you've ever done it. And so it's like, you know, this is where you don't feel weird about it. You just say, okay, just simply repeat this prayer after me. And you know what? Maybe you may not have the right prayer. You may not know every little word. But sometimes what I like to do is say, Father, I come before you. This is what we do every Wednesday night, and they're actually probably getting ready to do it right now. Father, I come before you right now. I ask for forgiveness of my sins. I'm not a perfect man, but I come here tonight and I want to get some stuff off of my chest. God, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. And you just have them repeat that after you. And you literally can lead people in the sinner's prayer just like how we lead people to Jesus on a Sunday morning. The key to it is keep the basic message. Jesus lived, he died, he was buried, and he rose again. That's a great area in the Romans Road. You can actually refer back to the Romans Road. That's the Paul, the intellectual approach. Number three, the key is to ask them if they want to accept Jesus into their heart. You must bring in the net. Now, I get it. This isn't going to happen every time. Sometimes it may be what happened with Chris and Liz. You just simply invited them, they came, and God met them where they're at. But you know what? There may come a time that's not going to happen, but you're going to give an opportunity for somebody to come to know Jesus. And so that's where you seize the opportunity and you lead them in the sinner's prayer. The key to it all is ask them if they want to accept Jesus in their heart. People can be ignorant of the Bible and still get saved, but they cannot be ignorant of Jesus and get saved. Tell them about Jesus. Why is that a true statement? Look at the thief on the cross. Don't think he knew much about the Bible. But you know what he did know? He actually turned to Jesus while he was hanging on that cross. And he said to him, he said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. That man was identifying his need for a Savior while he was dying. That's what we would call today a deathbed conversion. I don't know how many, I mean, I can probably count on two hands of actual people I went to visit in hospitals around this town who I knew they were on their deathbed. And I didn't care if it was clunky or awkward. I just went in right for the kill. Not literally, but I just went in right for the kill. I just went in right for the kill. I said, hey, sir. I said, you know, I said, I mean, this life is temporary. It's not forever. But you know what? There's one day we'll stand before Jesus, And there is a real heaven and a real hell. Have you made peace with your maker? And I had numerous ones, they say, no, I haven't. I say, you know what? I said, let's do it right now. I said, you want to? And I'm certain that they didn't understand everything about the Bible, and they probably lived 50, 60, 70 years like the devil. But you know what? If they accept Christ, it says, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord, they shall be saved, as long as they acknowledge their Savior and they ask Jesus to forgive them of their sins. He is faithful and just to come into their life, and you can take that to the bank. But the truth of it is, you got to seize those opportunities. Seize them. Number four, once they receive Christ into their heart, share the three-legged stool with them. What is a three-legged stool? Have you ever tried to sit on a stool that's got three legs and one's broke? You kind of wobble around. You probably just pitch it aside. Three-legged stool is this, as you tell them, after they accepted Jesus, read the Bible, pray daily, and come to me with church, and come to church with me. Get plugged in. If you got those three things going in your life, you're going somewhere. Am I right or am I wrong? If you got those three things evident in your life, you are going places. Something's going to change. Your house is going to look different. You're going to talk different. You're going to think different. Things are going to be different. Number five, if they don't ask Jesus into their heart, simply invite them to church. Tell them you will meet them there and save them a seat. Follow up on that person and make sure they actually come to a church service sometime. Like I said, sometimes you may just be slinging seed. So when someone rejects the invitation, do not be discouraged. They are rejecting Jesus Christ, not you. They are just rejecting him at this time. That's not to say that they can't come back and get stuff right. You have sown a seed. Isaiah 55:11 says, so also is my word. I send it out, and it always produces fruit. It shall accomplish all I want it to and prosper everywhere I send it. If they have already asked Jesus into their heart, ask them if they have any personal needs that you can pray with them about. That's the biggest thing we do when we're down at Mardi Gras. You know, as folks are walking by, hey, is there anything we can pray with you about? Hey, is there anything we can pray with you about? Because you know what? We're looking for opportunities to talk. And man, the folks that have had some type of church in them, they'll say, man, please pray for me. My marriage is a mess. Please pray for me. I mean, I'm going through financial problems. People, when you offer prayer, most people will never turn you down. Sometimes they do. Number seven, if they receive the Lord for the first time or if they rededicate their lives to him, be sure to follow up. I've actually heard it said like this. If you don't follow up, the devil's right there to swallow up. I actually thought that was a good statement because, I mean, the devil don't want you to succeed for God. What's he after? He's after for you to not be a Christ follower. So be there to follow up. That's why we have Bonnie Rome, Boro. She's a monster. I mean, she will call your phone. She will bombard you with an email. She will call. I mean, she is on it because she wants people to succeed for God. That's what she wants. Always remember, the method or style you use for witnessing will never be more important than the message you are bringing. So whatever method you have, it's not important. It isn't more important than the message. Whatever you are going to do to share Christ, your message is the most important. The only way to develop your own style of evangelism or reaching people for Jesus is to go out and let God develop it through you on the street or at your work or wherever you go. Do not limit God. Start somewhere. Last but not least is your style of witnessing will be unique. Let God develop it through you. Never take an opportunity. We are almost finished right here. Never take an opportunity for granted. Simply share your story. Make witnessing a lifestyle. The more you witness, the more opportunities to witness you will see. So what does that mean? You have to go to it. If you're going to see people come to Jesus, it's like prayer. It's not going to come to you. You have to go to it. It's like actually brushing your teeth. If you don't ever pick up your toothbrush, those teeth are never going to get brushed. And it's the same thing when it comes to sharing your faith with people. You have to be conscientious about reaching people with the gospel. And let that be a part of your Christian walk. Because out of everything you do, out of all the serving you do, never forget this. You are here because someone else did that for you. Why don't you go ahead and do that for someone else that desperately needs Jesus? Love you guys. God bless.